Today we're building a switch up in Ableton Live 12 that hits with heavyweight sub impact, with that jungle and old school DNB energy, where the groove stays dangerous, but the arrangement flips just enough to refresh the whole drop. Now, a switch up is not just a random change for the sake of change. In drum and bass, especially in jungle and darker old school styles, the switch up is the moment where you reset the listener's ear without killing the pressure. Done well, it feels like the track takes a quick breath. The low end gets even more focused, and then the drop comes back with way more authority. So the big idea here is simple: tighten the section so the sub stays powerful, the breakbeat stays clean, and the bass movement supports the drums instead of fighting them. Let's start in arrangement view and choose a 4-bar area where the switch up will live. 4 bars is the classic move here, because it gives you enough space to create contrast without drifting into a full breakdown. If your track is built in 16s or 32s, this is the little reset that keeps the energy moving. Set up 3 lanes if you can: drums, sub, and then a mid-bass or texture layer. The drums are your breakbeat edit, the sub is your clean low-end anchor, and the mid-bass is where you can add a bit of movement, Reese character, or call and response detail. Use locators if you want to stay organized. Mark the main drop, the switch-up start, the switch-up end, and the return. That way you can loop, compare, and make decisions faster. In DNB, speed of arrangement decisions matters a lot. A strong switch-up is often built from good editing first, sound design second. Now let's tighten the break. If you're using a classic jungle-style break, bring it into simpler and use slice mode. Slice it by transients, then play the slices from MIDI. That gives you way more control than leaving the loop loose and hoping it lands right. You can also keep the audio clip in arrangement and use warp markers or transient markers to snap key hits into place. Here's the mindset: the switch-up break should usually be a little more sparse than the main drop. That's a huge secret. People think they need more drums to make it hit harder, but often the opposite is true. If you remove a couple of ghost hits before the snare, or trim a couple of overly busy tails, the snare suddenly feels bigger and the sub has more room to breathe. Try nudging any late hits forward just a touch. Even a few milliseconds can change the whole feel, and keep the important snare placements locked in. In DNB, if the snare isn't confident, the whole section loses authority. If the break starts sounding a little floppy or too wide, put drum bus on it. Don't go crazy. Just enough drive to give the break some body. A light amount of crunch can make the hits feel more forward, but if your sub already carries the low end, keep the boom very subtle or turned off. Think of this section as a wait window. That's a really useful way to hear it. The heaviest switch-ups often come from brief moments where the low end is left alone for a beat, or even just half a beat, and then brought back in with purpose. That tiny vacuum can feel bigger than adding 3 extra layers. Now for the sub. This is where a lot of people accidentally weaken the whole switch-up. If the sub gets too busy, too wide, or too animated, it stops feeling heavyweight. For jungle and old-school DNB, the sub often needs to get simpler, not more complex. Use a clean operator patch or a very simple sampled sub. Keep it mono. Keep it pure. Sine wave or very low harmonic content is perfect. You want the sub to feel stable, controlled, and expensive in the low end. Shorten the note lengths a bit so the notes separate cleanly. A sub that's too long can blur the groove and step on the kick or snare. For this kind of section, root notes only can be a great move. Or leave space on beat 2 or 4 so the snare gets its moment. You can also try a short sub dropout before the return. Even 1 beat of silence can make the next note feel brutal. A really good test here is this: if the sub sounds a little boring on its own, that's often a good thing. That usually means it's doing its job. The excitement should come from how it locks with the drums, not from the sub trying to do too much. If you need to even out the levels, use clip gain or gentle compression. Just don't flatten the life out of it. We want consistency, not mush. Next, the bass phrase. For the mid-bass or Reese layer, think call and response. That old-school jungle conversation between drums and bass is part of the magic. The bass doesn't need to speak all the time. It can answer the snare, respond after the kick, or shift its rhythm slightly every bar. A strong structure is something like this: 1 bar where the bass answers the drums, a 2nd bar where it replies with a slightly different rhythm, and then the final bar is where the density drops a bit to set up the return. If you're using Waveedable, Operator, or a resampled bass layer, keep the true sub separated underneath. The mid-bass can be a little wider and more expressive, but the low end must stay locked down. Auto-filter is your friend here. Automate the cutoff to rise over the switch-up, or move it in a way that creates tension without clutter. You don't need huge sweeps. Sometimes a small movement from closed to slightly more open is enough. Keep resonance tasteful. Too much resonance can turn the section into a wobble show when what you really want is tension and weight. And if the bass feels too wide, pull it back with utility. The sub stays mono. The mid layer can have width, but the core low end should stay straight and disciplined. Now let's make the switch up feel intentional with a tiny fill. This can be a snare flom, a chopped pickup from the break, a reversed hit, a little tom run, or a short noise stab. It only needs to tell the listener, something changed. That's it. Don't overcook it. A one beat or two beat fill at the end of the four bars is usually enough. Layer a tight snare transient with a body layer and a short tail if you want it to feel more finished. Then maybe use a touch of saturator or drum boss to help it cut through. The key here is restraint. In DNB, small edits often make the biggest difference. Moving one ghost hit, trimming one tail, or removing one tiny percussion hit can tighten the whole section more than adding a brand new sound. Now let's automate tension. This is where the switch-up starts to pull the listener toward the return. You can automate the drum bus or a pre-drop group with a slight gain dip, then bring it back. Even minus 1 to minus 3 dB for a moment can create a real sense of pull. You can also close an auto-filter slightly on the last beat, then reopen it, or send the final snare into a short echo tail, so the end of the switch-up has a bit of motion without muddying the groove. Be careful not to automate the sub too hard. That's one of the biggest mistakes in heavy bass music. The sub is usually the anchor. Let the other layers move around it. Now check the low end with discipline. Mono the sub. Check the bass bus in mono every so often. Make sure the kick and sub aren't fighting. If they collide, don't immediately reach for a huge EQ cut. Often a tiny timing adjustment or a slight note spacing change gives you a better result. Use EQ8 to clear out unnecessary rumble from the non-sub layers. High pass the extra textures. Keep the res or mid-bass above the fundamental range of the sub. If you need sidechain, use it lightly. Fast attack, medium release, just enough to create space, not some huge pumping effect unless that's the style you want. The goal is to make the low end feel almost boring by itself. That's the trick. When it's locked and stable, the whole switch-up sounds more powerful. Now let's talk about the return. This is where the switch-up pays off. If the return doesn't hit harder, the whole section loses its reason to exist. Right before the drop comes back, strip the arrangement down. Maybe the bass pauses for a beat. Maybe the drums drop to just a pickup or fill. Maybe you leave a tiny pocket of silence. Then when the main drop returns, bring back the full drum pattern and the full sub together. That contrast is everything. That's what makes jungle and old school DNB feel so satisfying. The listener feels the groove shift. Then the impact lands with more authority because you earned it. A nice way to think about it is this. The switch-up should refresh the identity of the drop, not replace it. Don't let the transition become the main event. The original groove still needs to feel recognizable, just remixed and tightened for a moment. If you want to push this further, try resampling the whole transition. Bounce the switch-up to audio, then chop it again. Reverse one hit. Gate a tail. Flip a tiny detail. Audio editing often gives you that locked-in feel faster than endless MIDI tweaking. And remember to check it at low volume. This is a really good test. If the sub still feels present and the groove still feels dangerous when the speakers are down, your balance is probably strong. Let's do a quick recap. For a heavyweight jungle-style switch-up, keep the break tight. Keep the sub mono and simple, give the bass a call and response shape, and use automation to build tension without clutter. Use tiny edits, not huge gestures. Let the low end stay stable while everything else shifts around it, and make sure the return comes back with more force than before. That's the real art here, contrast, control, and groove. If you want, I can also turn this into a timed lesson script with section cues, pause points, and exact voice direction for recording.